never run out.
And support for this wonderful radio station, WMNF Tampa, comes from you, our fabulous members. It also comes from Florida Southern College, encouraging visitors to experience the world's largest collection of Frank Lloyd Wright architecture with a guided campus tour. Tour reservations and details can be found at flsouthern.edu/FLLW. Well, good afternoon. You are listening to Art in Your Ear on WMNF 88.5 FM. Thank you. Whoa, somebody did that. They messed with the thing. You're listening to Art in Your Ear on 88.5. Let's listen to some more. That is Wilco. Love is everywhere. And we sure did feel the love last week. Thank you so much to everyone who donated to WMNF and to Art in Your Ear. It's just really thrilling that people love this station so much that they are willing to put their hard-earned money in there, and they care and they want us to thrive and succeed and go on. So thank you for doing that. I'm compiling a list of people that I can thank again and thank still. I know since then I've had a couple donations. This show did not quite make our goal. We're almost there. So if you have not supported WMNF and you have not supported Art in Your Ear in a while, and you value this show, please do donate. You can do it by going online to WMNF.org, or you can call the front desk at 813-238-8001. We're going to rebroadcast that Clyde Butcher interview. Clyde Butcher has a show up at HCC in Ybor, and it's a beautiful show of his Cuba photos. We're going to rebroadcast that today in its entirety without interruption, so you can listen to that. Before we do that, I do want to do some business for you. We realize that fall is a time of the year when a lot is happening and was busy for us during WMNF's Fall Pledge Drive. Thank you again to everyone who donated. If we didn't fit into your tight schedule yet, it's not too late to give. Ah, there we go. Please call 813-238-8001 weekdays. Give through WMNF.org or the app, or call us in the studio at 813-239-9663. Then you can take one thing off your to-do list and enjoy your radio home. Thank you so much. What else? Well, let me get to another piece of music and then to Clyde Butcher, and then I'll be back after that. Again, thank you so much for listening. If you want to get in touch with me, you can email dj@wmnf.org, or you can text us at 813-433-0885. And thank you so much. It's just so great to be able to play this stuff for you. Here's a song, and I'll be back with also Clyde Butcher. How about that? Come on, silly little rabbit. And that is Camper Van Peethoven covering Ringo Starr.
This is Walter L. Smith II from WMNF's Sunday Forum. Join us as we present the film, What is Democracy? What is Democracy? Raises critical questions and challenges our establishment and notions of democracy and freedom. The film highlights some of the greatest political thinkers of our time, including Angela Davis and Cornel West. Thursday, October 24th, 7 p.m. at WMNF Studios. For more information, call 813-238-8001 or go to WMNF.org.
Welcome to Art in Your Ear. I'm really thrilled to welcome Clyde Butcher, legendary photographer Clyde Butcher, to Art in Your Ear. Thank you so much for coming in for this.
Oh, I think it's going to be fun.
I think it is going to be fun. You've got a show opening up. Well, actually, by the time people hear this, you have a show that has opened up at HCC Ybor Gallery about your photos of Cuba.
Yep.
You're known, at least in Florida, for your photos of Florida, primarily the Everglades. What was so interesting to you about Cuba?
Well, Cuba was actually, back in the 30s, 40s, and 50s, was actually part of Florida. People considered it part of Florida. But it doesn't have one thing that Florida doesn't have is mountains and lots of palm trees. When I first came to Florida, I thought, where are all these are all pine trees. Where are the palm trees? They're in Cuba. Mm. Yes.
And so mountains, and we're a peninsula. It's an island, so that makes sense.
It's the same size as Florida.
Oh, that's bigger. True.
Yeah.
That's true. So you decided I'm going to go take pictures because it's a natural extension of what I do?
Not really. I did it because the UN wanted me to do it.
Well, that's a good reason.
It was the Year of the Mountains. They were celebrating all over the world. They called it the Year of the Mountains, environmental aspects. United States, it was, I think, Boulder, and Cuba was the Caribbean. So it was basically to show the people in the Caribbeans my thoughts on Cuba.
Had you been to Cuba before the UN asked you to go take pictures there?
No, never been there before. Never been there before. It was at 2002. It was a little tricky getting there. I went under a. Clinton had made a license for artists, and so I went under with that license. So I was able to just fly from Miami to Cuba. It was really kind of fun, though. We had a tour guide. Tour guides think that everybody wants to see the cities. So the first thing they did is drove me, I think it was San Domingo, and I said, why are we here? He says, well, to see the city. I said, I don't want to see the city. I want to see Cuba. He said, this is not Cuba. Cuba is the landscape. And he says, well, let's go out and look. I said, no, I'm not getting out of this car. So they finally got the hint that I wasn't getting out of the car. And we headed out and started seeing Cuba.
How did you figure out, was it just driving around? Had you known where to go to take these amazing photos?
No, I had no idea. Normally I don't, people go tell me, do you scout? I said, no, I just go. And if it feels good, I photograph it. Now, the northern part of Cuba is like Florida. The southern part is basically the ocean coming up. The ocean, I think there went up three times. Because you'll see coral way up high. And then you'll see coral a little lower and lower. The west coast goes just offshore, 1,000 foot. Off the northern part, it's 2 feet, 6 foot.
One of the things that I love about your photos is that I'm not looking at a photo, I'm looking at a place. I feel like I am there as if I was standing next to you seeing this stuff. When do you or how do you decide, yes, this place right now?
How do I decide? If it feels good, I make a picture. It's not, if you notice a lot of my pictures in the center, there's no center of interest. This basically the interest is of the full photograph, because I make my pictures big so you can't see them, so you have to explore them, and by exploring them you get the feeling of it. And I learned that in Florida because of the swamps. You're in the when you're in Florida, you have to get close and personal. Cuba is somewhat similar to out west, where you have some mountains and things to photograph in the distance. But I've learned in Florida that how to see what's really there. I can't tell you how many people have been with me when I take a picture, and when they see the print, they'll swear they weren't there.
Well, one of the things that it seems that your eye pays very close attention to is the sky.
Oh, yeah, I love skies.
There's a Facebook group called Sky Friends,
oh, really?
And it's all
okay.
People posting photos of pictures of clouds in the sky and stuff like that. And it has sort of an emotional component to it because there's not just the love that people have it, but the way that people experience being as part of nature and part of the sky. You know, it's very easy to feel like a little tiny dot when you look up.
It's very uplifting.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also, to me, very strange that water can float.
Yeah, right.
I mean, that's amazing. But I have a lot of people out west say, well, there's no mountains. I say, our mountains change every day.
We have mountains all along the horizon.
We don't have the same old mountains every day. We have new ones every day.
Well, you're listening to an interview with Clyde Butcher here on Art in Your Ear. He's got a new show of photos of Cuba, the natural beauty. It's at HCC in Ybor. When you were going through Cuba and mm-hmm. taking photos, one thing that was just completely charming is that there's also photos of you working.
Right.
And relaxing and resting. Was it necessary for you to be there a few days to sort of get the feeling for the place besides the tour guide wanting to show you? Or was there can you create a sympathy for yourself pretty quickly?
We ended up in San Domingo off the airplane. And after convincing my guide that I have no interest in seeing downtown, we left, and within 15 minutes, I took my first photograph. Okay. It was a great, it's the tree they make furniture out of, but it had these bromeliads. It was just huge. I think they would kill you if they fell off the tree. So basically, it just brought me to some of the same essence of Florida. But that but also was really fun. I got to meet a farmer, and there he was farming bananas. And in Cuba, they just plant their bananas in the forests. Mm-hmm. So they don't cut the forest down to plant them. They just plant them. So he was kind of curious of what I was doing, because I don't speak Spanish, so I couldn't explain to him. So he's looking at my camera, so I said, come over here, and I put him in there under the dark cloth. And he comes out, and he said, upside down, world upside down. I said, hey, I couldn't get him away from the camera. It was so fascinating, the world being upside down.
You don't look through the camera when you're taking a picture?
All I do is use it for focus. I've been shooting the same angle of view lens since 1962.
And you have I would think, to create such large format photos with such crystalline detail, that is a very specific way of working.
I used three cameras in Cuba, the 4x5, the 5x7, and the 8x10. The first time I used the 4x5 because they were having a difficult time at the airport understanding what I was doing. When I brought the 8x10, they said they want to look inside. They thought the camera was a suitcase. So I had to unfold it and camera.
Wow, that's awesome.
Then they wanted to see inside the box of film.
No.
That didn't work too good.
These photos were shot several years ago. Are you interested? Is there a desire to go back to Cuba? Are there places that you have not taken photos of yet where you want to go?
Well, it would be nice to go. I only spent 3 10-day trips. You can't see a whole country in 30 days. And I understand since I've left, they've added more national parks. In fact, in 2002, they had added, since the Russians left, they had added 10% of their forests. They hadn't taken out 10%, they've added 10%.
Imagine that. I wish somebody else would follow that.
Yes. In fact, there was an article about how we could solve global warming just by planting trees. And they told you where it was and how many to do. Very simple.
Very, yeah, plant some trees.
Yeah.
And that'll eat up the CO.
Yeah.
Well, that must be, to make it broader, you know, your work of Florida, of the Everglades, of other parts, the love of place that you have, I assume that it's more than just the love of a couple of specific places,
right,
but a love of place.
Well, Cuba gave me the same, really the same feeling as Florida, very intimate. The people were great. They lived very simply. It was interesting at that period of time. It was before LEDs, but everybody had these little fluorescent light bulbs. They didn't allow incandescents because it took too much electricity. They probably don't do much CO2 because they don't have much to do with it. A lot of walking, a lot of bicycling. Every horse had a little bucket at his rear end.
A poop bucket?
Yeah, poop bucket. Because they needed fertilizer.
Right.
They didn't waste anything.
So much what we can learn.
Yes.
So, Clyde Butcher.
Yes.
Let's talk a little bit more about your photos.
Okay.
Your photos are pretty hot, you know?
Wow.
So, before the interview, I was asking you about what you were seeking when you created a photo, when you mm-hmm. take a photo. And you were great So I want to ask that so listeners can hear the answer, not just me selfishly. What do you want with the photo?
I want the person to walk into it, to experience it, to get a real happy feeling about the environment, that it's precious. I can't imagine any place on Earth is any better beautiful than this Earth we have. We need to keep it. People don't understand how important the environment is. Where do they think oxygen comes from? Water comes from? Nature supplies all these things for free, but we have to respect it. There's a big conflict between progress. They say progress, mm-hmm. and there is a lot of good progress. A lot of good things are happening, but they could learn a lot from Cuba.
Years and years ago, I was down by where you are in the Everglades, and it seemed to be a pretty sort of straightforward, mm-hmm. no frills.
It is.
Nothing fancy.
Well, you know, after all, Big Cypress is one of the, which is really part of the Everglades. It's probably pretty unique in Florida. It's probably the healthiest place there is in Florida. The water is so clean, you can drink it. That would be nice if all the water in Florida would say that. And Cuba had places were like that, and they had places that were left over from the Russians that were really bad because they were doing it for money. But I think the Cubans have made a lot of progress since the Russians left.
When we were there, it was a couple of years ago, and there was a lot. It was very interesting talking to people. We were in Havana, and buildings were falling down and killing people mm-hmm. because there'd been so little work done on the infrastructure.
Right.
And in conversations, though, it was interesting talking to people who were my generation and younger. And younger and younger, my generation's kind of old, that they were talking a lot about the environmental impact and mm-hmm. looking at that. And it was fairly common, and they were concerned about the weather patterns, you know, how they're just a little island and the global weather patterns are affecting them more and more. Mm-hmm. Global climate change hurts them in a way much more than it does hurt others because they have less resources to prepare for it, prevent it, and things like that.
But I tell you, though, I was there, I think it was in August, just after Hurricane hit Cuba. And we were going to go to this road, and the road was closed because the water had raised up. They couldn't go across the road. And all of a sudden, I was noticing there was nobody in this large town. A couple of soldiers laying around. And I asked them, what happened? They brought buses in and took everybody out of harm's way.
Exactly, which is how the humane way of dealing with things.
Yeah, and they say they're the bad guys. Well,
so going back to the photos, for instance, there's one photo, and I can't remember the name, but it's the shore curving around.
Oh, yeah.
But what's so interesting is that the clouds are a counterpoint to it, and so there's this energy of sort of like a whoosh, you know, through it, that all the energy goes in a half circle in it. And looking through the book and looking at the some of these photos were at the Dalí, and looking at your other photos, again, you have these various lines. You know, you have mm-hmm. sort of planes, P-L-A-N-E-S, planes in there and
lines that actually bring you into the photograph.
Right. You're sneaky.
Yeah, I am. Well, you know, I'm an architect. And one of the things they teach you in architecture is how to see. Because that's kind of important. If you're going to design a building, you want to figure out how people are going to attract people to the building, how you're going to get them into the building. So a lot of that is, I guess, subconsciously into my photography, is how to get people into those spaces. And with the clouds can bring you in. And but that particular area you're talking about just reminds me of Carmel, California. Yeah, it was very familiar to being in California and Point Lobos and that whole area on the West Coast. Very familiar. Big Sur, yeah.
Do you have a lot of photos of California?
Oh, yeah. Because I'm from California, and probably every few years. So I've got Yosemite and Death Valley and the Redwoods and the sand dunes. And because that's where I kind of grew my photography techniques, was in California.
Okay. And see, I always associate you with water, or the presence of water, but then sounds now I can also associate you with the absence of water if you've got Death Valley and all
that. Yeah, but I we lived on a sailboat.
Okay. So the water thing isn't that far off.
No, we're water. If you look at my Florida work, there's very few pictures that don't, I'm not in the water.
Do you revisit your old photos? Or are you like, oh, I'm going to go look at my photos from
I always do. And sometimes I think I'm improving. Sometimes I think maybe I'm not improving. I'm not sure. No, you get different feelings and when you print them.
Do you ever sort of see things in your photos that you're very present when you're taking your photos?
Right.
You see very well. But I wonder, do you ever see things that you didn't notice? And you go back and you look at a photo, you're like, look at that.
Oh, this Kay Acosta number two. Oh, gosh. beautiful picture. And all of a sudden, I realized it was a tin can. I didn't like that tin can in there.
You're ruining everything, you stupid tin can.
Yeah, so those are the things. Because in film, you can't really fake anything. It's there. No Photoshop.
Right. And so what happens? You take the photos and you have these different large format cameras and you're using what type of film?
Mostly I've been using T-Max 100, which is the finest grain film you can use.
And that's what gives such incredible clarity.
Yeah, it really does.
And then it's time to develop. So what is that part of the process?
Well, that part is really interesting. Because I wanted my pictures big, and really the photo industry doesn't design equipment to do that. So I have to design the easels to print on for the 40-inch rolls, the trays I had to create. They're 5-foot by 4-foot trays. So I had to kind of like invent the mechanisms. The first large pictures I was doing, I was living in Fort Myers. I actually ended up washing the pictures in my swimming pool. I hope there wasn't too much chlorine.
Is there a lot of tone choices and different decisions that you have to make once you start developing?
Well, that's one of the interesting things about black and white. Now, in color, you have to just get the color right. In black and white, there is no answer. Do I want the blacks as black as it? I want the whites. I want the gray tones. Do I want to burn this, make this darker? I want to hold this back, make it lighter? There really is no answer. So each picture you do is individually created. You should see, like, Choppy is one of my famous pictures. The straight print. You couldn't even recognize the print from the straight print to the finished print. I mean, it's like night and day.
Because you were like, I need to this. I need to down that. I need to switch this.
Well, God didn't give us the right balances all the time.
Well, it's secondary.
it's all his fault.
He gave you the ability to figure it out yourself.
Yeah, he gave us that ability, yes. But, you know, he just doesn't give you all the tonal ranges you need.
So do you try it in several ways and then settle on one?
Oh, well, sometimes it takes weeks. I've had some pictures I've gone back to a couple of years later and say, you know, that was a good picture, but I couldn't get it. And all of a sudden, it's interesting. Sometimes in my sleep, I'll say, I know how to fix that picture. Do that picture now.
There's a picture, and I don't know the name, but the one that a friend has in her living room, which is so beautiful. It took me 2 years, I would say. They had it for at least 2 years before I noticed the shadows of the clouds on there. Because I was looking at the trees and the water and the stalks of different things growing out and the clouds. And then, look at all the shadows there. I hadn't seen that. So that was one thing else is sort of the unfolding of the photos.
Well, one of the things that's really neat about black and white is you can keep discovering. But if you like color, if you like blue, you're going to see the blue. If you like green, you see the green. Where in the black and white prints, people keep discovering picture in their house year after year that, I didn't know that was there. Because it's all tones. I say to people, do you like air or do you like water? Which one would you rather have? Well, the photograph, black and white, gives you all those choices. There's nothing more important in the photograph. The sky, the grass, the water, the trees, they all have the same relationships. Well, there's one thing that I really looking for when I photograph, and whether it was Cuba here or Spain or anywhere, I look for chaos. Now, when you have chaos in nature, you usually have biological order. So it's my...
Expand on that a little so people understand, including me.
nature knows what each other plants want. Some plants don't like other plants. They'll kill them. But if you find that it's chaos, you'll find that it's actually biologically working. And my job is to try to make order out of the chaos.
I was reading the book, I want to say The Secret Life of Trees. I'm not sure if that's the right name, but it was a German forester wrote mm-hmm. it about how there's tree communities and how they support each other. Mm-hmm. And I think that the Everglades, for example, a lot of untouched nature or less touched nature, but the Everglades is a extreme example of that, of how they're sort of like, yep, we made this ecosystem. It works great. Don't mess with it.
Right. And that's why Big Cypress works pretty good, because we don't have rivers run into it. We've had a couple of canals that they've blocked up. And it's basically, if you get rain, you get rain, you get water. If you don't have rain, you don't get water. I did work in the Delaware Gap in Pennsylvania, New Jersey. They have 100 waterfalls going in that poor old river. it can really change really quickly. And if there's pollutants on one side, that's a pretty interesting area too. There's a lot of very interesting areas. Not many, and the East Coast is difficult. There's one area, it's called Congaree National Park in South Carolina. That's actually chaos.
Good chaos.
Yeah.
So chaos is good.
Yeah.
Dear listeners, you're listening to Clyde Butcher on Art in Your Ear. He's got a show up in Ybor at HCC called Cuba, The Natural Beauty, and that shows up through December 6th. One of the things that also is so interesting about your work is not just the sense of being in the place and not just the detail, the extreme detail of everything, but the timelessness of it, mm-hmm. that it could be, I think partially because of the black and white, but also because of the photo, it could be 1,000 years ago. It could be today. So again, how is that part of your work?
A lot of that's because I'm looking for chaos. Because it has been there 1,000 years or 500 years. I found a little forest of cypress trees up on the Santa Fe River that must be 2,000 years old. This one tree is 53 feet in circumference. In Cuba, they have trees there that have been there a long time. A lot of them are religious trees. They have religious feelings to them, so they don't touch them. Cuba has that sense of, you'll see a whole mountain, just solid royal palms, just a whole mountain of them. So obviously they've been there a while.
But is there a spiritual component to your photos?
Well, that's why I get it. Because nature has a spiritual component. Now, if you haven't tried it, hug a tree for about half an hour.
I've never gotten a half hour with it.
And you'll find a real connection to that tree. It's amazing the energy that nature has if you are still enough. People don't keep people still is difficult these days. With our cell phones and our cell watches.
I'm old-fashioned. I've got an old-fashioned watch.
I am really old-fashioned.
I heard you don't do email. You don't even have a watch.
I don't have a watch.
Sundial?
Well, yeah. Normally I can tell you what time it is within 15 minutes probably.
Right. What's next? What are you working on next?
Well, I'm working on next. Well, one of the things in Florida, which people here in South Florida don't realize, of all the damaging is happening to the springs in northern Florida. So I'm trying to bring that to people here in Florida because a lot of people don't see them. It's far away, and you have to be usually in a canoe or a kayak or sometimes tubing down them. Hardly anything in Florida is majestic as like Half Dome is in Yosemite. So sometimes it's hard to convince people it's what it's all about. So we've been working, and we just got back from St. John River area up by DeLand, doing a project up there. We're going to a ranch outside of Arcadia try to bring all this beauty to these silly politicians.
You've been always, as long as I've been familiar with your work, an artist activist or an activist artist, that your care and concern and love of nature, you have not hesitated to let people know about that. Do you see an impact that you have had? Is there, you're talking about the springs. How can you, how do you sort of figure out, like, how can I best address this with people?
When I first worked on the Everglades, nobody understood the Everglades. I mean, the scientists maybe understood it, but people didn't understand it. Photographers in Florida were taking pictures of birds and gators. I just, you go to a zoo and do birds and gators, right? And people ask me, what do you want to save the panther? No, I don't want to save the panther. But if I save where he lives and his food source, he'll take care of himself. So I've learned through the Everglades, when it started, I started that in probably really seriously in 85, 84. And I worked with, if you ask politicians at the time of the 90s, that my work really helped them sell the concept of restoring it. So if I could do the same thing with the springs, it would be exciting.
Was that part of who you were before you came?
No.
But living there, you're like, oh.
Well, no. What happened when I first started photography as a art form, as a making a living, was in 1969. And I was doing it to make a living. I didn't really understand what I wanted to do until in 1986, our son was killed. Car accident. That's when I decided that I wanted to explain Florida to people. I was doing it, I started in color. People were getting excited about it, but they just so much color you couldn't see it. So I decided in 1986, I took all my color work to the dump. And
to the dump?
Dump. Probably 400.
Did anyone smack you up on the side of your head?
Well, I think people thought I was a little crazy. Well, there are my other artist friends. I mean, I was making in color, sales-wise, 20 times as much as people were doing black and white, or maybe 100 times. And they all thought I was just absolutely crazy, and probably was, because Nikki, my wife, was doing hand-colored black and white, which she was doing well. She could make our living, and I was going to be doing the art. Because I started photographing, and I still photograph things that I want to photograph, not considering if it would sell or not. And it's fortunately that seemed to work. When you photograph things that you just feel are good, it seems to work.
Do you ever sort of secretly do color photos? Like, oh, I'm going to take a color photo. Don't tell anybody.
Well, actually, I have been, since my stroke, I've been shooting digital, which is in color, but I convert it to black and white. And people say, well, can I have some of your color? No. I guess if they want some of my old color stuff, maybe. But
And there are, you have a book. And I'm going to, there'll be a picture up on the Art in Your Ear Facebook page and the Art in Your Ear page on WMNF.org, but you have a book for this, yep. Cuba, The Natural Beauty. There are color photos in here, but they're color photos of how you made it happen.
Right, right. Most of them probably are taken from by my wife.
How's that new book smell?
Well, you have the first one.
I do. I'm so excited.
This is a rerun.
I don't want to give it to anyone.
You actually have number first one that anybody's ever had.
Number one.
You're number one.
Also, you just got back from Spokane.
Yeah,
Spokane, Washington. I'm from New York. We call it Spokane. But
yeah, they'll shoot you over there.
I know they will. And you won an award.
Yeah, I'm not sure what it is. It's a international something or another.
I had it here and then I clicked away from it and see if I can go back to it. And the award is, you've won a few awards in your life.
Yeah, this one is interesting because the people that have received this award are people like
Ansel Adams,
Everett Weston, Walt Disney, first guy that, the guy that invented the digital world.
Mm-hmm. It says the most accomplished photographers whose images and their presentation have contributed to the advancements of understanding among people, leaving a unique impact on the world by focusing attention on changing perceptions.
Just that?
Well, you know, there's some other stuff in there.
But no, it was really an honor to people recognize you because I'm not really in the, how do I say this, the photo group. I just do my thing, and all these shows we've gotten, basically people want us to do them. And we've done museum shows all over the United States. We did a millennia show in National Gallery in Prague, 2000. The Dolly show was really neat. I don't know if you saw the Dolly show.
I did see the Dolly show.
That was nervousing.
It was a fun contrast.
Yeah.
Between Dalí's work and your work, there was a good dialogue, I guess, between the two.
People seemed to understand Dolly's work after they saw my work. And I didn't realize he was really into the landscape. He had his bed set up. When he woke up in the morning, he had a mirror set up. So he was the first one in Spain to see the sunrise. This guy was a nut, you know, but he was an interesting nut.
So it seems that there's probably people all over the world that are loving on Clyde Butcher's photos.
We have on our Facebook, we get people. In fact, I got a letter a few years back. It was addressed Clyde Butcher, USA, Everglades.
And then it came.
It was from Australia.
Right. But look at you talking about Facebook, Mr. Social Media.
Well, that's my daughter, granddaughter.
I know, yeah, I'm sure. Hello.
Yeah. Yeah, my daughter, granddaughter are here. They know what they're doing.
They do know what they're doing.
I supply
and are very pleasant and wonderful to work with.
I supply the pictures and they supply the energy. My wife also was 57 years.
Mm-hmm.
She's I couldn't do this without her.
Right. Nikki, and she has.
Yeah.
Does she still do her own
work? Oh, yeah.
Work?
Yeah. She's there. She's hand painting on the computer now.
That makes sense.
But she's going to start going back to hand painting with ink, with oils pretty soon.
Wow. And everybody, how are you feeling? How is your health?
I'm doing better.
Mm-hmm. Look very healthy.
I wish I looked at Phil's because I look. my right side is still kind of numb.
Mm-hmm.
But I spent a lot of walking and when I was out in Spokane. Yeah, I've lost a lot of weight, too. Mm-hmm. That helps.
Right, yeah. Well, is there anything that I have not asked you about your work that you think is important?
Well, you know, I think that people are out of realize that Cuba is doing a lot of good stuff. There, I don't think it's causing a big problem as far as global warming. I should mention, though, that our house has complete solar on it, and we have an electric car, which charges the house, by the house. And last year we got $100 back from FBNL.
Good for you. Wow, that's awesome.
So we're trying to get our footprint as minimal as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what people are not doing.
Even, I was reading an article in there, and it was this terrible, I thought terrible article, because it was saying, oh, you can choose to bring your own bag to the store, and you can do this, but it's not really making a difference. And I was like, what a ridiculous, stupid thing to say. If 3 million people bring their own bags to the stores, that's, you know, 10 million bags that aren't being used.
Well, yeah.
Plastic bags that aren't being used.
We have all of our canvas bags from Publix.
Hey, no commercial posting there.
Okay. But I see people go to the grocery store and they all bring those bloody plastic bags. Usually their bags are $1.
Right.
You can't afford $1.
Or they give you free bags on all these different things. You can just, you know, there's always somebody giving away some silly bag.
Yeah, in Cuba, it was really interesting. We were driving along and we had money, so we would buy 2-liter water. I'm not sure I wanted to drink the regular water there. But anyhow, so when we would get through, one of the fellows in the car would take the bottle. He was a Cuban. He would throw it out the window. And Nikki says, you know, it costs $500 fine in America when you throw something out the window. He says, well, watch the next time I do it. He would wait for a kid along the road, throw it out there, and that kid would have the skip stop up that bottle instantly so he had something to carry water in. So they didn't recycle. They reused.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Well, Clyde Butcher, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. Thank you so much for coming in to Art in Your Ear on WMNF. We're playing this during our fun drive. We're a community radio station, and most of our support comes from our listeners. And I think that you being here is the gift that we can give to the listeners, because it's been wonderful talking to you.
Well, it's been fun.
Oh, good.
To be able to share with people is important.
It's a beautiful show. It's a beautiful art show. It has many other qualities besides beauty.
Yeah.
But that is the one that strikes, is the initial.
We also have our 8x10 view cameras in the show.
People can look through it?
Yep.
What?
Yeah.
Can people take pictures with it?
No. If they want to spend $10 a sheet for a film, maybe.
There you go. I bet. So thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And that's Have Gun Will Travel on vinyl. Mystery of Mine. I love that song so much, and I love the beginning, talking about love, and the end, we'll work it out eventually. Thank you so much for listening to 88.5 WMNF. This is Art in Your Ear. We just heard an interview with Clyde Butcher. We aired it last week, but was interrupted because of his fundraising, and it was just too good to let slide away. His show is up at Ybor Gallery of HCC. That is, for longtime WMNF people, right across the street from the Cuban Club. And here's how everything ties together. Have Gun Will Travel will be playing in concert for WMNF with Donna the Buffalo as part of WMNF's New Year's, I hate the word tribal, New Year's celebration at the Cuban Club. So Donna the Buffalo, Have Gun Will Travel, Someday Honey, at the Cuban Club for New Year's Eve. $35 in advance, $40 at the door if there are tickets left. So if you're looking for a fun New Year's Eve plan, that could be it. There you go. I want to let you know some other stuff going on. Let's put a little Divachka in the background and listen to that. And first of all, of course, thank you to everyone who supported your radio home and who supported WMNF and who supported Art in Your Ear during our fall pledge drive. So many people were so very generous. We came a little bit short, so if you missed us, you can still get in on the action. Give through WMNF.org or through the app, or call us in the studio. That may not work so well, but you can definitely call the front desk at 813-238-8001 on weekdays. We can do this, you guys. It should be done. I do want to thank people who donated to Art in Your Ear. Thank you so much to Nancy and Charlie Parker. Thanks to Charlie McEarchin. And Charlie, I'm going to look for that Pat Chambers CD for you. When I stopped working here, I gave the box to the station. I will dig through and see if I can find that. And if not, I have a copy and I'll get it to you. Thank you so much to Mike Vinyl, Phil Klein, Duncan Strauss, Sandy and Suzanne Wismer, Bill Grable, Jim Graves, Steve Kenny, Lauren, Michael Dean, Flea, Sven Freckleton, Catherine Gibson, and Bradley Arthur. So many talented people on that list. It's just an honor that you decided to support Art in Your Ear. I hope other people will as well. We still need some money. We still need money. Hey, it's reality. But there are other things going on in this beautiful world that I want to let you know about. So cool. Tomorrow is Nuts with Coolness at the MFA. There is going to be an artist speaking. Her work is up right now at the MFA. Let's get to it. And her name is, here, let me try not to multitask because that doesn't ever work out well, does it? Anyway, the MFA has an amazing show opening up. The name of the artist is Jennifer Angus, and she is going to be speaking at the museum tomorrow at 3:30, and letting you know her work. She takes insects, and it's a very ancient tradition, and she creates all this beautiful work and stories using insects. So that sounds creepy, but it's not. It's gorgeous. So that is at the MFA. Also tomorrow, the Morion Art Center and the Chihuly are kind of on fire. At the Morion, Basque, the work of Basque, 20 years of Basque. How fantastic is that? That's just amazing. 20 years of Basque's work, and that is going to be opening up. It's Saturday Art Walk, so there's a ton of great stuff with the Art Walk. And so Alice Basque-Hostomsky is just an amazing artist. Then there's another show that I can't pronounce, Jujumo, which is another illustrator, and it's beautiful. Her work is beautiful. Cody Thompson has work up. Daniel Lloyd Miller, Scenes of Transformation, really interesting painting work. And then another show, which I really hope people will go see. It's called You Can Feel What We See, works by visually impaired students in Pinellas County Schools. The idea is that there's a lot of ways to experience art, and it doesn't have to be visual. That's all at the Morion Art Center. The Morion is located at 7th Street and Central Avenue in beautiful St. Petersburg. Well, that's it. I'm kind of out of town. I had all this other stuff I was going to do. Coming up on Live Music Showcase is 2 p.m. No, that's not the time of Live Music Showcase. That's 2:06 p.m. The name of the band is 2 p.m. So stick with that. After 2 p.m., of course, will be after 2 p.m. will be Reverend Billy Rhythm Revival, followed by the Bumpy Ride. It's a music show with a, it's a drinking show with a music problem. And then the great Route 66, following Route 66 Soul Party, Flashback Friday, the Damn Jams, and all sorts of good stuff. Thank you for being part of WMNF. Please stay tuned if you can. Please support the station. Please support Art in Your Ear. There's lots of thank you gifts on my page. I love you guys. My name's Joellen Schilke. See you next week. Stay out of trouble. Here comes the NPR News.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again. Because a vision softly creeping left its seeds while I was sleeping.